Thank you, worship team. As you were just singing that song now, and Stefan, you said something. You said he sees that giant. And that really helped me with my sermon. Because I prepared my sermon in the week. And I was up at 3:30 this morning because the sermon hits a point where it can either go one of two ways. So I got up at 3:30 this morning to try and figure out from the Lord which way to go. So I've been trying to figure that out since 3:30 this morning. If I went both ways in the sermon, you'll be here till next Sunday, which you don't want to be. And when Stefan, when you said he sees that giant, that was my answer. Maybe I should have just stayed in bed. So we are in our teaching series on As For Me And My House, We Will Serve The Lord. And this morning we're talking about, from the Beatitudes, about Matthew 5 verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. We can just keep that verse up for a little while, please. They're trying a new system this morning. Rather than me putting together a PowerPoint presentation, I sent through the scriptures, and there is a system now with our new software that can bring the scriptures up. And we speak that into being, even if it's not working right now, in Jesus' name, which is really great. So, let's move forward. And the whole premise of the sermon season comes from Joshua 24 verse 15, where Joshua said, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. And I don't know about you, but it seems to be in the culture and the day that we are living in right now, that it seems to be a daily choice to serve the Lord. It seems to be sometimes it happens more than daily. We are confronted or we find ourselves in situations where we've got to make up our minds. In this conversation, I will have a godly conversation. In this situation, I will choose to be on the side of God and His Word. Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are now living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Maybe we could say that together this morning, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Are we ready? Should we try that together on the count of three? One, two, three. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And that's something we've got to make our minds up daily. Maybe you could put a plaque up at your front door. And when you leave your house, you remember today, I think somebody already has that plaque here, that today we're going to serve the Lord. Isn't that awesome? And we've looked at in Sermon 1 in this teaching series that there was the pull and the push. The pull of the past to go with the gods of the past. And there was the push of culture. And we face the same today. There's always the pull to go back to what we once knew. There's always the push of culture to kind of push us into a corner, to get us going with cultural norms instead of getting us going with what the Lord wants us to get going with. His word, Hebrews 4 verse 12, which is sharper and active. It's active and alive and sharper than any double-edged sword. Now, in preaching this teaching series to you, I've realized that this actually is not a little preaching club right here where we come to on a Sunday. But this is a place where you come to, where you can be transformed and you can receive fresh vision and a fresh impact from the Lord Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. In the first week, we looked at Matthew 5 verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. And the amazing thing about hungering after the Lord is this. I don't know if you've discovered this. That one never seems to get full. Have you noticed that? You can hunger after Him. He can feed you. But He places a desire in you for more of Him, for for more of his word. I don't know about you, but the more I read his word, the more I want to read his word. The more I spend time with him, the more I want to spend time with him. That hunger intensifies, that hunger, because the word says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Last week we looked at Matthew 5 verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Can you imagine our lives in some way seeing God break through? Can you imagine our family lives with God breaking through into our family lives with spiritual gifts? Imagine going to prayer as a family and one of your kids get a word of prophecy or gets a word of discernment from the Lord saying, I believe God's saying this into our situation. I believe those are the kinds of prayers the Lord wants us praying as families. Let's start somewhere. We can start by giving thanks for the food. And we know that that can be awkward, especially at Christmas time and you're the only Christian around the table. We discussed that last week. But moving into prayers, we say, Lord, we welcome your presence into our home. As we step out of our front door, out of our front gate, may we have the armor of God on. May we go go out strong and strengthened in the Spirit. Today we are in Matthew 5 verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons or children of God. You can replace the word sons there with children. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. I want to talk about peacemaking in our homes, peacemaking in our lives. Because honestly, I think a lot of us can be doing with a lot more. Now, a lot is a bad word. Many of us can be doing with a whole lot more. I tried getting lot out, but it didn't work. We can all be doing with a whole lot more peace in our lives, can't we? And we think of any family situation, we can all be doing with more of the peace of the Lord in our lives and in our homes. And really, our homes, our lives should be characterized by the peace of God. Very often we want the power of the Lord in our lives. But we can't have the power of God until we get the peace of God. That's the way God operates. You see, his power is enveloped in a lifestyle of peace. We can't just have the power. What's the power based on? On his peace. The Holy Spirit was perfectly peaceful when he rose Christ from the dead. He wasn't anxious. He wasn't fretting. He wasn't speaking to the Father with all due respect. Lord, do you think this is going to work? Perfectly peaceful when he rose Christ from the dead. So when we operate in the power and the giftings and the anointing of the Lord upon our lives, we operate from the standpoint of peace with God and peace with others. But we'll see in today's sermon that there's a world of difference between what the Bible calls a peacemaker and what society looks for in peacekeepers. Because God's not actually looking for peacekeepers. He's looking for peacemakers. There's an action, there's an activation in our lives, in our minds, in our thoughts, in our spirits, in our being when we become peacemakers. Anybody can try and keep the peace. Have you ever tried to keep the peace? Yeah, we all do that. You know, we have a family meal and we ignore a situation. I'm sure you've been there. You know, for this meal, the situation's not going to exist, but there's an elephant in the room. You know, you may try it at church, you know. You may try and keep the peace. And you come in and you're walking in the foyer and you see Jesus, light of the world. And you see somebody coming in the right-hand doors and you think, well, to keep the peace, I'm going to go through the left-hand doors. And I'll sit over there to keep the peace over there. Now, I'm just playing around with you. But you know what I mean. We're good at trying to keep the peace. But it feels a bit like a juggling act. It feels like there's so much of the flesh in keeping the peace. What does the Lord want us to do? Does he just want us to keep the peace? Does he just want us to ignore things? Does he just want us to gloss over things? Does he want us to ignore each other? You know, you sit there, I swap over, you swap over. I mean, come on. Is this some juggling act in a circus? What does the Lord want from us? And you know what? Even in our family lives, so many of us live in dysfunctional, unhealthy families. family lives. And when it boils down to things, it's you hurt me, I hurt you, we all hurt each other, so we're all having a big hurt fest at this stage. Because everybody seems to, in some dysfunctional kind of a way, seem and appear hurt. And we often live in a blame culture. It's your fault. I'm feeling hurt right now, and it's you. You did that to me. Don't we live in a blame culture? We do. It's everybody else's fault. As long as we are peacekeepers, it will always be someone else's fault. But when we realize the awesome teaching of Jesus in the Beatitudes, in the Sermon on the Mount, and that's what we're doing. We're talking about individual lives. We're talking about family. We're talking about church family. And we're not trying to find some study done by some government somewhere that pulls out the perfect family. We are going to look at and looking at the scripture, the Beatitudes, to infuse what Jesus said into every area of our lives. Awesome. Thanks. Great job, Toby. You may be in a family right now and you're trying to raise your kids. And it's complicated. It's your kids, it's her kids, it's the ex so-and-so's kids, and there's the phone calls from the ex, and the emails from the ex, and the tweets from the ex, and it's a little bit complicated. What does God want you to be? A peacekeeper or a peacemaker? You may be in a family situation now, you may be a teenager, and you think, my parents will never trust me. They're always breathing down my neck. They're watching every text I send, everything. I was just playing around with the kids the other day. I said to my youngest, you know that dad tracks every single thing you do on your phone. I was just playing around with him immediately. I mean, we have a rule at home that, and it was the rules the kids wrote. And they wrote this rule themselves. You may at any time take our phone from us and look at whatever you want to look at on it. So we uphold their rule. They made it. No phones in the bedrooms. No screens quickly flipped over when mum and dad walk in. To keep the peace, we could have easily have said, just do what you like. But we had to make peace. We had to allow them to make peace with technology, where technology could take them. In Jesus' name, to set boundaries. And we also had to make peace. You know what it's like? We're sitting around a dinner table, and you've spent money on the food, you've put time and effort into it, and we're trying to be close as a family, but all of a sudden, through social media, we're drawing closer to people that are further from us. I'd encourage you, times of mealtime, put your phone away. You really don't need it. You need your family around you. We need to be looking eyeball to eyeball in each other's lives. You see, the peacemaker will say, oh, well, you know, just answer that text. WhatsApp. Bing, 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 bing. All the tones that go off depending on WhatsApp. So do you have that as well? I'm off WhatsApp. Please don't try and WhatsApp me. I'll never see it. I'm into the reality app. Let's talk. Let's put our phones away. Let's enjoy our families. You know what it's like? You spend time and money and you go on a day out and it's that one phone call, that one text that just the devil gets a little foothold which starts to destroy everything. And if we're peacekeepers, oh, well, we'll try to keep them happy, me happy, the text people happy, the people who wrote the text, the people who thought the text, the people the text refers to. But we've got to be peacekeepers. Makers. And Jesus was very specific about that. Blessed are the peacemakers. Now, we read that and we look at that and we think, okay, cool. I can do that. Or I can't do that. What is peacemaker? Now, the thing is, our English language is a wonderful language. I still haven't mastered it, and thank you for putting up with me Sunday after Sunday. But I've realized in the English language that it can be limiting. Like we get one word for which there are many words in the Bible for that one word. For instance, the word love. I mean, we love. We love our car, we love our cat, we love our dog, we love our spouse, we love our goldfish, we love our teacher, we love our pastor. Thank you. We love our church. I love my congregation, I really do. But we've got one word. Love. What does it mean? And then when you look in the Greek, I mean, there's at least four different. There's storge and phileo and eros and agape and all different kinds of rich words that describe, which we're not going to get into today because I'm not talking to you about love. I'm talking to you about peacemaking. But the same applies to that word peacemaker. In the Hebrew in the Bible, we see the word shalom. You know that word shalom? You've heard it? It's quite a Jewish word in a way, which is cool and great. And the common Western definition of peace is probably the absence of conflict or the absence of war. So we say peace. What do we mean? The absence of conflict. But the word shalom in the Hebrew is much richer than that. It's taken from the root word shalem, which means to be safe in mind, body, or estate. So when you say shalom to someone, you are speaking a blessing and saying, in Jesus' name, I hope that you are safe in mind, body, and estate. It speaks of completeness. It speaks of fullness. A type of wholeness that encourages you to give back. To give back in some generous way. True biblical shalom refers to an inward sense of completeness or wholeness. It can refer to the absence of conflict or war, but there is so much more to it than that. It actually means as well, may you be full of well-being. Isn't that great? So when we are called to be peacemakers, it's more than being without conflict in our lives. It actually means that those around us, through our lives, will experience a safety in mind, body, or estate. It speaks of a complete blessing over someone's life. May you be full of well-being. May health and prosperity be upon you. Wow. Isn't that awesome? The Greek term, I mean, the New Testament now, so it's Greek. The Greek term comes from the word irene opoios, which means one who produces peace. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons or children of God. Blessed is the one who produces peace, for you'll be called a child of God. It's more than keeping the peace. It's producing the peace. It's making the peace. It requires effort. It requires time with God. It requires the Holy Spirit to renew our minds. It requires us doing something. So the first part of the word of irene opoios, irene is a noun which means freedom from fear. So when I'm a peacemaker, when you're a peacemaker, there's a freedom from fear. What will people think of me? So the Greek immediately says to you, when you become a peacemaker, which will make you a son of God, there is a freedom from fear. There's a freedom from fear in the way you serve the Lord, in the way we go to the Lord, in the way we are born again. And there's a freedom from fear when we produce the peace in our lives. It also means a treaty of peace between countries, in the context of a freedom from fear. So that's irene, freedom from fear. Poio means to make, to produce, to create, to bring into existence, to bring about, to cause, to render, to consider, to prepare, to make ready, and to do. So we've got to make ready. We've got to do. We've got to bring into existence freedom from fear, which is found in the peace of God. And Jesus said, if you do that, you are blessed. If you do that, you are blessed. When Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, he doesn't just mean, I want my family life to be strife-free. It also means, I want God's highest good for my family life. And when Jesus said this, just like in the other seven Beatitudes, everybody listening would have been shocked. It sounds like a lovely, gentle teaching to us, the Beatitudes, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. And we think, how lovely, how sweet, how quaint. How quintessentially so full of British values. Shall I carry on? But actually, in the day of Jesus, blessed are the peacemakers, when Jesus said that it would have made people's blood boil. Because it was counterculture. Because everyone there had been raised with the mindset, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You punch my eye, I punch your eye. You punch my tooth out, I punch your tooth out. Someone hits you, you hit them back. Remember what Jesus said? Somebody slaps you on the cheek, you turn the other cheek. He didn't say what you do after that, but you figure that one out. Hopefully, if you're a peacemaker, you'll make peace. So it sounds sweet and lovely to us, but in that context, someone steals something from you, you take something from them. And he was saying, what he was saying was totally shocking, because it was a higher calling in following him. Blessed are the peacemakers. He didn't say blessed are the peacekeepers. There's a huge difference. Well, what is the difference? Come on, Kevin. You've been banging on for the past 20 minutes now, 25 minutes, about there's a difference. Well, here's the difference. Peacekeepers often avoid conflict to keep peace. I really don't like what they're looking at on social media, but I'm going to keep the peace and say nothing. Remember, peacekeeping has to do with being fearless in the ways of the Lord. And we've got to produce that. And we've got to produce and make and cause and render and consider and prepare and make ready to bring about, to create peace. So peacekeepers often avoid conflict. Peacekeepers will work around an issue rather than work through an issue. You see, a peacemaker won't work around the issue, they'll work right through the issue. This is exactly what the Sermon on the Mount was doing. It didn't work around the Jewish customs of the day. It didn't work around the Pharisees and the religious spirit that were wanting to crucify Christ. It cut right through it. That's what this teaching that Jesus brought actually did. And being a peacemaker will cut through everything we do in life, because we're going to have to be fearless in him, and we're going to have to see him produce godly results in every facet of our lives through him. And so we get to a place where we're like, let's not talk about this. And we know that's not good enough anymore. We've got to talk about it. Jesus did not say, blessed are the peacekeepers. He said, blessed are the peacemakers. So what will a peacemaker do? A peacemaker will, in a godly, God-fearing way, embrace conflict to make the peace. Think about that one. Will embrace conflict in a God-fearing way to make the peace. In other words, we don't work around an issue, we work on an issue. We don't work around an issue, we work through an issue with the help of the Prince of Peace. Amen? Because the Prince of Peace is dwelling in our lives and in our families' lives. Which brings me to the key thought of this series. We're not just being Christian homes. Because what does Christian mean culturally? A huge percentage of the UK population will say they're Christian because they attend weddings, funerals, Christmas, and Easter. Christian. We're not satisfied just by being Christian. We want to be Christ-centered families. We want to be Christ-centered people. We want to be a Christ-centered church, and that came out very strongly in our church meeting on Wednesday night when we looked at the vision statement, a Christ building, a Christ-centered church. That means we're going to have to be peacemakers. So what's the difference? You might say, I don't see the difference. The difference is when we become Christ-centered. Now, this was the bit of the sermon I didn't know whether to preach or not this morning until the last song. So thank you, Stefan. I want to take you to Numbers, chapter 13, from verse 26. A well-known portion of scripture about the spies and the promised land. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh, in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. So they saw the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Yeah, is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites live in the hill country. And the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. Moses, have a look. Here is some awesome fruit. I mean, look at the size of this bunch of grapes. Look at the size of this pomegranate. I don't know, if you ever go grocery shopping and you actually are fortunate enough to be able to buy some produce from Israel, sometimes it's enormous. Have you noticed? It really signifies the land flowing with milk and honey. And that's what happened. The spies came back. But they had the fear of man instead of the fear of God in them. They were on the side of peace keeping rather than on the side of peace making. It's wonderful. God's promises are true. But everywhere you look, there's problems. There's giants. Even along the coastline, the beautiful coastline, Moses, there's problems. Let's just keep the peace, we might say. There's problems. If we start moving forward in the Lord, we'll have giants to conquer. We'll have cities to take. We'll have nations to take the gospel in. A peacemaker will say, sign me up, because God will produce in me the fruit to do that. That's a peacekeeper. Peacekeeper. A peacemaker will say, let's just stay comfortable. Let's not bother those giants. We don't want them looking at us all funny. Let's just leave them there. Let's not put ourselves out, Moses. It's wonderful. But we're quite happy here, Moses. We can do with the teensy-weensy little grapes instead of the big, humongous, glorious, juicy fruit from the throne room itself. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses. Think of that. Bold man, fearless in the Lord. To me, that's a peacemaking attitude. Actually, hang on here, guys. Excuse me. Allow me to speak. Actually, now God starts to produce something. He starts to create. Actually, we are well able in the name of our Lord. Let's see what scripture says. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. How does this apply to family life? Well, we know this has got to do with the promises of God. And I believe that God has got good promises for every life. And I do believe that no matter how great the promises are, and no matter how smooth sailing life may seem to be to you right now, there will be giants along the way. You may be facing giants in your family life right now, and the temptation is to keep the peace. I'm going to ignore it. I'm going to be an ostrich and bury my head under the sand. Or we can be brave, and we can be fearless in Jesus' name. And we can say, actually, there's certain things in my home that actually right now I don't believe that God is happy with, because he wants to bring breakthrough. There's certain things that need healing. There's certain things that need breakthrough. We actually need to spend more time praying. Now, I know you all at home don't do praying, but as for me, I'm going to start praying. And whoever wants to join me, I'm going to be praying 6:30 every morning in the living room. Monday to Friday. You can join me. You see, a peacemaker will say, let's not disturb them. Sorry, a peacekeeper. I'm getting confused. Help me. A peacekeeper will say, let's not disturb them. A peacemaker will say, let God create his presence in my home. There may be a giant. There may be an obstacle. There may be things going on that are painful. But let's invite God in. But the men who had gone up with them said, we can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. And you know what? Our problems often feel stronger than we are. I often say to the Lord, say, Lord, the amount of problems you ask me to deal with, have you seen the size you made me? Come on, Lord, this must be a sense of humor going on here. You haven't made me 6 foot something that I can just walk into the room and everybody, ooh, the pastor's arrived. He's a short little guy. I mean, you just look above average person's head height and you'll miss me, you know. You won't even see me in the room. And then the Lord wants me to do stuff for his kingdom. Come on, Lord, you must be having a laugh. And you may feel that way at home. I'm all alone. I'm overlooked. How am I going to do this? I can tell you there's one way to do it, and that's by determining I will be a peacemaker. I will create the opportunities for the Spirit of God to flow and be at work in my home. And they spread out among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. Isn't that just like the naysayers? It's so terrible. Why is it easier to connect with it so terrible rather than, yes, it is so terrible, but God's going to break through? You see, flesh wants to connect with flesh, but spirit will connect with spirit. And you may be in the minority, like Joshua and Caleb were in the minority. But at least we know one thing. Out of 12 people, we know two people's names, Joshua and Caleb. We don't know the 10 other people's names. What happened to them? The Bible doesn't even count them worth mentioning their names. But the two who believed God, they are mentioned. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. And that's what happens when problems come. We feel like a grasshopper. It's called grasshopper mentality. And God hasn't called us to have a grasshopper mentality. He's called us to be peacemakers, to have a peacemaking mentality. And the interesting thing is, when the enemy can get you feeling defeated, he will make you think everybody else sees you as defeated. You'll feel like a grasshopper and you'll think everybody thinks I'm a grasshopper. I mean, look at me. I'm just a grasshopper from Africa. They're all going to just step on me. Crunch. But you're a peacemaker. You see, peacekeepers measure their problems against themselves and their own resources. This is my problem. This is the issue I'm facing at home. This is the issue I'm facing at work. This is the issue I'm facing at church. So therefore, I'm going to measure it against myself and my resources, and we'll never be able to do it. We'll never get the promises of God that way, because a peacemaker measures their problems against God, not themselves. So God has a solution for you. God has a solution for your family. If you will be determined to be a peacemaker, because you will then be called a child of God. And I'm going to be ending here, because I have 3 steps to being a peacemaker, but you'll have to come back next week for that. This was the junction in the sermon. Look at Numbers 14, 23 to 24. Not one of them will ever see the land I promised on oath to the ancestors. No one who has treated me with contempt will ever see it. But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went, and his descendants will inherit it. Can you have that different spirit? Can you have a spirit of, I will do what God wants me to do? Can you have the spirit of, I'm not going to side with the critical spirit. I'm not going to side with the naysayers. I'm not going to side with those who reckon the giants will destroy me. But I will side with God. Because with God, me and God are always a majority. And in your home, you may be the only person serving the Lord. But the good news is, with God, you and God are always a majority. Some of you need to push for breakthrough, to believe that the Lord can do this. That just like Joshua and Caleb had a different spirit and God blessed them and they inherited his promises, you can have that different spirit. That's your choice. That's your decision. That's going back to Joshua 24. Choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Some of you must not accept the giants. You may be sitting with giants in your life and you say, Kevin, you preaching that sermon this morning and you've got a nice little preacher's life and you've got a nice little preacher's family, but you don't understand where I'm coming from. I might not understand what you are going through, but I understand what betrayal means. I might not understand what you are going through, but I understand what abuse means. I might not understand what you are going through, but I understand what discouragement means. I may not understand fully what you are going through, but I understand when the carpet gets pulled out from underneath your life and everything falls apart and everybody stands pointing their fingers. But I choose, Lord, I will serve you. I will continue to trust in you. I will be faithful. I'll keep my eyes on you, and I have seen God come through time and time and time again. Whose side are you on this morning? Who are you serving this morning? Some of you might need to confront a situation in your life. Go in there with the fear of the Lord and not the fear of man in your life and say, from this day forward, you know what? We are going to give thanks for our food. We are going to say, Lord, thank you for your super provision in our lives. And would you bless our family? Just a simple prayer. Before we go out in the morning, we are going to just for 30 seconds, just stand at the front door and say, Lord, I commit our family to you this day. Protect us and bless us and make us be instruments of taking your kingdom forward. I'm not going to accept second best. I'm not going to accept second rate. I'm not going to accept that the giants are there to stay, because every giant will fall. And in the middle of every battle, in the middle of every storm, I will raise a hallelujah. We're going to sing that. I will raise a hallelujah because the Lord has already given me the victory. You know, folks, the good news is this. God has already done it. If God doesn't do one more thing for us, this is theology, think about this. If God doesn't do one more thing for us, he's already done more than enough. Because he has already won. He has already defeated the evil one, the devil. And with us and God, we always a majority. A peacemaker will move forward in the ways of God. Can you do that? Can you move forward in the ways of God? Can you see what you need to do when you go home, when you need to go back to work, when you need to have conversations with people in the church? I'm going to be a peacemaker in Jesus' name. And we'll see the giants fall. And we'll see the promised land. And we'll live in the promised land with God's promises. Come on, folks. I said at the church meeting, this isn't a dress rehearsal. This is it. There's no such thing as incarnation. We're not going to come back for a second chance as this as a butterfly. This is it. God has put us on this earth for such a time as this. God has put you, I believe every person here this morning, God has put you in this church with who he has made you to be for such a time as this. And being a peacemaker means I am strong, I am fearless in the Lord, and I'm going to trust God that wherever I go, I will produce and create and do his peace. And we'll see the giants fall in Jesus' name. Let's pray together, and can the worship team come up? You'll have to come back next week for the rest of the sermon. be very practical next week, just a few practical little things here and there, which are powerful from God's word that will really help take us forward, being peacemakers. While every eye is closed and every head is bowed, maybe you are not at peace with God this morning. Maybe you're that prodigal. Maybe you've been running. And God says, be that peacemaker. Make peace with him. Stop running. Deal with your relationship with him. Maybe you've never done this. Or you've done it before, but you need to do it again. Let's pray a prayer inviting Christ into our lives. Just pray this prayer after me. Dear Jesus, thank you that you are the Prince of Peace. Thank you that you are the Prince of Peace. I need peace with you. I need peace with you. Forgive me for being a sinner. Thank you for dying on the cross and rising again from the dead. I invite you into my life to give me your peace and peace with you. Peace with you. And I want to follow you all the days of my life, right into eternity, in Jesus' name. Let's keep our eyes closed, please, our heads bowed. If you prayed that prayer this morning, quickly slip up your hand and quickly take it down again. I'm not going to embarrass you, I just want to pray with you. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? Lord, I declare that the Prince of Peace will rule and reign in those two people's lives that have put up their hands this morning. I pray the peace of God upon them, and I pray that you would be the peacemaker in every situation in their lives, and that the Holy Spirit would be the sign and seal of their commitment and salvation in you, in Jesus' name. Now, maybe some of you in the quietness of your heart would like to say, Jesus, be my Prince of Peace. Help me be a peacemaker. Help me be strong. Help me be brave from this day forth in you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks,